Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This is Merin. She fell in love with James.
I'm a masculine-presenting woman.
And I am a feminine-presenting straight man. I guess people perceive us as weird as a couple because we don't follow the regular status quo. We don't look like how they want us to look.
I guess people perceive you as weird because you don't follow the regular status quo? Yeah, sure. You know what you're doing. Nobody is this stupid. In the description below, it says, to James and Maren, they aren't any different from other heterosexual couples. BS. Everyone here knows what's going on. They know why people don't consider it normal, and they are just doing it for social media clout.
I've only dated girls in the past.
I was identifying as gay because it was easier than explaining all the ins and outs of who I was.
That is really suspicious and something no straight man would ever do. You know how you can tell someone is faking it because they improperly describe how a real person would act in that situation? This is one of those times.
Made the first TikTok August 6th of 2021 in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. So I posted all these pictures of us together. And I woke up the next morning and we had over a million views. And I said, babe, this is not happening.
And there we have it. Some people will eat a full cactus for views. Some people will react to feminism for views. And some people will fake their sexuality for views. The couple's YouTube/family vlog channel is a key giveaway that this is an AstroTurf relationship, along with the fact that they started creating content shortly after they got together. The most damning evidence, though, is in this article here where James literally says he's gay. Like Maren, 23-year-old James has also only dated members of his same sex before they met. James goes on to say, a long time before I met Maren, I had one boyfriend, but we only lasted a couple of months. Isn't that changing the story quite significantly from what was said in the Truly video? I believe that James is straight about as much as I believe that this guy from Odd One Out is straight.
I got mistaken for being gay a lot of the time. I'll be honest, I went on dates with guys because so many people were suspecting me of it, but I was just like, that's not me. After being on those dates, I was like, I like women. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's not something a straight man would do. Personally, I don't care what these people do in their free time. However, what I don't like is when a British media company with a YouTube channel called Truly is glamorizing a bunch of pathological relationships in their Love Don't Judge videos. They aren't doing it because they're trying to promote acceptance or find creative ways to help people. They're doing it because they know it's abnormal and that will get them views. You can tell by how ridiculously the content is framed. And what ends up happening is that they are pathologizing society for money, like how political grifters will always accuse their opponents of being evil instead of trying to understand their arguments. They aren't trying to help people when they do that. They're trying to gain power and make money. And the issue with Truly showing circus freak relationships to make money is that it propagandizes the audience into thinking that they're a good idea and that a lot of the fetishistic behavior that occurs on these episodes is a sign of good mental health. Spoilers, it's not. James and Maren broke up, probably because James is gay and Maren is a lesbian. And most importantly, the YouTube channel didn't work out, so the grift wasn't making them money. Also, they filmed a behind-the-scenes for the Truly video, and James kind of seems like an alcoholic.
We're supposed to leave around 5. We're shooting for 8 hours.
About 4 or 6 hours of it, I'm planning to be drunk, okay? I might take a shot as soon as we finish filming this.
I need a Mimosa Tower stat. 30 cc's of liquor.
Oh my God.
Now.
The bigger issue, though, is that 30 years of this modern feminist/woke propaganda has changed how a lot of people view how relationships should be. I'm sure at some point you've all heard something like this.
I applied for this episode because, especially right now with the whole red pill movement, the toxic male influences out there, that it's very important to show like other men, and especially younger men that are coming up into this world, that it is okay to be feminine. Is it okay to express your emotions? Is it okay to be vulnerable?
Now, the red pill is wrong about a lot of stuff, primarily stuff like saying it's okay for men to cheat on their wives. However, a part of the reason that space exists is because women in general don't like feminine men. Women don't like men who are emotional all the time. They don't like men who are passive and weak, and they don't like men who are shy or lack confidence. Modern feminism's promotion of femininity in men is causing those men to get rejected in relationships. Those men aren't going through the hardships of becoming masculine because modern feminism and woke ideology told them they don't have to. Not to say that there aren't other problems here, but this is a big one. Which brings us to a Dr. K interview that I saw recently, where a 20-year-old guy spent $8,000 on dating coaches.
Alex?
Alex, okay. Is there something in particular that you want to talk about today, Alex?
I spent $8,000 on seven personal dating coaches. But the issue here is that, like, despite, like, you know, having, like, seven different dating coaches, I still pretty much got rejected by literally every single girl I ever approached. It's like they never even, like, gave me a chance, pretty much.
So this is kind of sad. This guy, Alex, is 20, and he started with dating coaches at 17 years old, which means he's been at this for 3 years at the time of the interview and effectively has made no progress. Now, my opinion of pickup artists is already pretty low for stuff like this. The vast majority of pickup artists are super cringe snake oil salesmen like this guy here who is dressed like he's the oldest person at a punk rock concert. Or most of these PUAs are simply unhelpful because they don't actually know what they're doing or they can't properly assess a client's skill level, which causes them to suggest changes that are too hard for their clients to implement. Like this situation here. Does anybody believe that this guy on the left has any chance with the girl on the right? The sales pitch of at least most of these PUAs is that if you just say the right combination of words and have the abundance mindset, then you too can have an attractive woman. Immediately missing the fact that this guy came out to an event where he's supposed to learn to pick up women in a faded Beatles t-shirt and a bad haircut. At least he has a watch on, though. Decent fashion choice. But he's slouching, he's got his hands in his pockets, he looks unconfident, he's 50 to 100 pounds overweight, and he shakes this girl's hand like he's giving her the dominance.
So pay attention to how he makes you feel. Okay, go.
Hi,
hi.
I'm Leo.
How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Great, nice Good. To meet you.
Very feminine. You're telling me that this guy is supposed to spend an hour at this seminar or do a weekend boot camp or do 5 weekend boot camps and get a girl like this? No. Now, I apologize because in this video, I'm going to be very mean. But the issue with this guy on the left is not that he doesn't have the right pickup line or can't follow a flowchart. The issue is that he's not a man. He's very feminine in his behaviors and he doesn't take care of his appearance.
Now, the question I would have is how much of his masculine did you feel?
In percentage?
Yeah. Did you feel a lot of his masculine or did he feel sweet? Did he feel nice?
Sweet.
Sweet. So would he be, from a feminine perspective, would he be sexually attractive? Or would
no.
he be, okay.
He has like several years of working on his behaviors and his appearance before he can get an attractive woman. If you watch this seminar, you can see that obviously none of the advice the guy running it gave is going to actually be useful because it's too above the level of the guys that are there. He talks about how to deal with a woman in a sexual context when these guys can barely stand next to one without looking super uncomfortable. Most of the seminar was just him using hypnotism techniques to woo the guys in the audience without actually teaching them something useful. This is the kind of product you're getting with most PUA material, and even in its best scenario, like if PUA works for you, in its best case scenario, Neil Strauss, the godfather of PUA, the godfather of the red pill who wrote the game, said that it just turns you into an addict and it led to him cheating on his wife. I believe he's divorced now. That being said, let's get back to Alex.
I didn't think of myself as like a weird person, but even like, let's say if it was just like a normal group setting, like people ask me like, hey, Alex, how are you doing? Like, and I would like say stuff and then like, okay, I mean, it's like everyone else like talks to each other very normally, but when people would talk to me, it's just like normal. Like, how is your day? And like, yeah, very good. And I kind of like have trouble with like going beyond like small talk.
Sure.
Like I said, I'm going to be very mean in this video because that's what's necessary. However, after watching this Dr. K interview, I don't think that Alex is a person who would mind brutal honesty as long as it gets him what he wants. He seems to be very capable of handling criticism And I get the feeling that he actually is unhappy that people around him keep trying to save his feelings by not telling him what's wrong. That being said, I didn't really like the conclusion that Dr. K came to in this podcast, which was kind of a very textbook, this is how you're supposed to help Alex with his problems, kind of answer. Dr. K's advice was basically get therapy, work on your social skills, and make friends before you get a girlfriend. Now, that's all great advice, especially that last part about finding friends before you get into a relationship. However, the problem is that this advice is not addressing the issue that he has. It might make him capable of being a healthy relationship partner, which is good, but it doesn't help him with what he's actually having a problem with, which is getting his foot in the door. What's the most important thing for getting your foot in the door? Being attractive.
I mean, well, I definitely had a huge case of like one-nitis with this girl for like at least 4 years. Honestly, I feel like I was a little creepy for liking her because I barely even interacted her.
And so how does that happen? What happens? Like, what did you think about her? And what is that one-itis based on?
I mean, I guess I like kind of like noticed like things about her. Mm-hmm. I mean that like personality wise. I mean, I also thought she was very beautiful, but yeah.
So let's go over that. What did Alex notice first about the girl he was focusing on for 4 years? Did he say to himself, wow, this girl is really good at math and I like that? Nope. The thing that initially attracted him was her appearance and her mannerisms. And that always comes first because you can't know that she's good at math without talking to her or at least paying attention to her. And you aren't going to do that if you don't think she's attractive. Even with women, social skills are secondary to appearance. If you're attractive but you suck at conversation, girls will pick up the weight for you. Because if you're attractive in this case, you aren't socially awkward, you're mysterious. I'm not fucking with you, that's how things work. Which is why it's so stupid that PUAs are teaching all these super advanced social skills to guys who can barely form a sentence, when what's actually in meta is to work on your appearance. Also, the more attractive you are, the more people in general will want to talk to you, which will make it way easier to build social skills. Now, with all that in context, let's see what kind of help Alex got.
My first dating coach was like in my senior year in high school. Like basically I was like, you know, extremely lonely.
So how did you find a coach?
Like I had seven like different coaches.
Yep. So let's talk about the first one.
Okay. Well, the first one, believe it or not, that one was a girl, a girl dating coach. The other six weren't.
Strike one. Never ask a woman how to attract a woman. They have no idea. Why would you pay to take advice from someone about how to attract women when she has never done it before? Unless she dates women, her advice is going to largely be useless. Not to say that straight men are any better at giving women advice on this topic either. I know a lot of guys on the internet have this take of, women just have to stand there and men do everything for them. But that's after they have already spent dozens of hours shopping for good clothes, learning what hairstyles to have, doing a proper skincare routine, and learning how to be feminine. Guys aren't approaching the women who don't do that stuff, and if you don't believe me, take it from dating expert Pearl Davis.
From a young age, I was what you call humbled, okay? Most of my friends, right, were generally, like, more attractive than me. I was never the hot friend. Most guys, even the average guys, they would ask me about my friend first. And if that didn't work out, then they would come crawling to me.
I'm sure there are exceptions, but in general, a straight guy is not going to be able to help her with this. I even remember watching a trained professional try to help Pearl with her awful fashion choices, and he put her in a dress that looks like a trash bag.
Spin, not too fast. Okay. Yeah, this is
not
the best.
Really good. Mm-hmm.
I'm done dressing like my mother on dates. Yeah. I've decided this. Mom, your dress has got to go.
That one looked good though, actually. I think that suited her hair color.
I hope that advice was free because that dress looks like shit, and he probably is not going to address the very noticeable psychological problems that Pearl has when it comes to attraction. She very much acts like a man, and he's not going to be able to teach her how to be feminine. Moral of the story, don't pay for advice from the opposite sex on how to attract people. Speaking of feminine behavior, let's hear more about Alex's first experience.
It's what she taught me, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, she was very nice, like, she tried to help.
Like, don't get you wrong, she was trying to help. What does that mean?
I mean, she was trying to help, but the stuff she taught was like, you know, this is what a question is. This is what a statement is. Like stuff that's like everyone like already knows.
Okay.
trying to teach like basic common sense. Like,
okay. So it sounds like it wasn't that helpful.
Why is he so passive about this? Well, she was nice. No, she took your money, used up your time, and filled it with common sense bullshit. You should be mad about that. You should be mad that she had the audacity to charge you more than she's worth and for not doing the bare minimum, which was to teach you something useful. Because Alex is so quick to make excuses for his first teacher for her lack of competence, he makes the mistake of hiring bad teachers multiple times.
The third one, oh my God. That one was the most expensive one. Yeah, it was $3,000 for that one. It was basically a 3-month coaching program.
Wow, that is a lot of money for someone who was probably 18 to 19 years old at the time. He has some expensive looking stuff behind him too. Does he have a job or are his parents rich? Because if he doesn't have a job, that would be step one for building the kind of social skills that would make you attractive to women.
Like there was a segment where like the main coach actually brought his girl out to interact with her. And yeah, I would basically get like 1 or 2 minutes on the timer to like try to start a conversation with her, like talk to her. Yeah, basically more like observational wise. But what made me like very mad though was that I was literally on my last group session and I could barely even like hold a conversation for like 10 seconds. And the guy was like, oh my God, like you did so awesome, Alex, like did so well. And that was like literally after like 3 months. Like what? I know he was like trying to be nice to me and stuff, but like he also, it just wasn't very honest, you know?
Mm.
Like I was still obviously struggling a lot.
It sounds like this was a complete waste of several months if all you're trying to do was have a conversation with a woman. Those teachers failed you because they were too incompetent to find a challenge that was at your skill level so that you could actually improve. At least he got mad this time, but obviously they picked something too hard for him because he was unable to do it after months of practice. He'd be better off spending that $3,000 on a female therapist, preferably a younger female therapist that's not too far out of his age range, and just practice talking to her. Usually it's around $100 a session, maybe less if the therapist is new. So that's months of therapy and months of skills practice that pretty much any therapist should be able to handle. I don't think Alex is terrible at conversation. Clearly he is capable of it because he did fine talking to Dr. K for over an hour. However, it sounds like Alex has anxiety issues that are ruining his ability to have a conversation. Just talking to a woman for around 30 hours so that he knows he can do it would be a huge help. Now I will give him some more points here because the useless $3,000 dating coach had the audacity to try to upsell Alex for another course after failing him.
Like skill-wise, I didn't really improve that much. And he saw that, like I couldn't, like I was doing so pathetic, like trying to talk to, you know, this girl on the video chat. And he was like, kind of like being fake, you know? Like, and after that, like after the chat, he was like trying to like get me on a sale to pay thousands of more dollars to continuous coaching. I was like, no.
How did that make you feel?
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance in the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back in unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Yeah, very mad.
So he didn't actually create a noticeable improvement in Alex's skill, and he's going to lie to Alex to sell him more stuff? Like I said, at least Alex got mad and said no to that, but then he lets the next coach do this.
But But that reaction definitely applied to the next one. Like, he was, like, very awful.
How so? What does that mean?
Yeah, dude, he was, like, very, like, verbally abusive. And he would, like, get mad at you, like over, like, the dumbest, like, stuff that, like, doesn't even matter. And also, like, I literally had, like three sessions left, and he was like, we're done coaching. And he literally just canceled our coaching without a refund. And why did he cancel our coaching? Like, he literally, like, accused me of interacting with, like, a third party. Like, I was, like, some sort of secret agent.
It sounds like that dating coach was on drugs. Plenty of hard drugs will cause paranoia like that. But this was very passive and feminine behavior from Alex. Why didn't he get pissed off at this guy and demand a refund? Why didn't he at least threaten, like, a chargeback on his credit card or something? I mean, if you're asking the universe to teach you how to get women, that's the test that you need to pass. Screw the dating course. You had the perfect opportunity to prove that you're a man, and you failed. And then you went on to pay three more dating coaches after this event. If we're just talking about psychology here, this is why Alex can't get a date. He displays no masculinity, and that's very unattractive. Sometimes life gives you indirect tests, and that was one of them. Standing up to the bully is what will make you attractive. That being said, enough about psychology. Let's talk about appearance. Unfortunately, each of these topics about how to be attractive could be a video on its own, and I don't want to overwhelm people. So what I'm going to do is go over the basics so that you know what kinds of things to look for when you're learning and Googling this stuff, and I'll give you some reference material to help you guys get started. By the way, this is not just for guys who can't get a date. It's for everyone. Once you start learning aesthetics, you'll realize that most people look like crap, and your knowledge of this stuff will put you way ahead of them. The idea of the next part of this video is to kind of be like a one-stop shop so that you have all the reference material that you need to improve your appearance. Otherwise, you're just going to say, "What the hell do I Google?" and not take any action because you don't know what to fix. The first thing that stands out to me about Alex the most, and probably everyone else, is his facial expressions.
If I do look in the mirror, like, I'll have this reaction where I kind of, like, just cringe. So at least on a very subconscious level, I do think, like, I'm kind of, like, cringy.
Like I said, I'm going to be very mean and validate him here by saying yes, Alex behaves in a very cringy way. I'm also going to be mean again and point out that other people have already tried to tell him what's wrong with him. Not to say that people will always tell you what's wrong with you in the nicest way. Usually it's bullies and your enemies who tell you how to fix yourself.
I moved to another state, you know, for high school. Yeah, basically, yeah, the kids would, like, treat me, like, very bad. Like I was always, I guess, like all by myself. And the other guys were, like, you know, playing basketball and, you know, playing flag football. And I was, like, the only one, like, not joining in.
What kept?
I mean, it's not just that, but they're also, like, you know, call me names and stuff.
What would they call you?
Like, one of the things that they call me is, like a retard.
Okay.
It's not politically correct to say this, but if you aren't doing well in life and you don't know what's wrong with you, think about all the mean things that people have said to you and ask what caused them to say those things. They probably include some things you can fix. Personally, I think they said this stuff about Alex because he does weird stuff with his face. He's, like, doing this frog thing here. He constantly moves his mouth in weird ways, and he looks like he's scrunching his face in order to hold back emotions. It's very awkward, and it's super noticeable right away. I'm sure he caught it if he watched this interview back. The simplest way that Alex can address this is to just allow himself to experience emotion in front of others. A female therapist would really help that, by the way. He's holding his emotions back to try not to be cringy, which ends up making him look cringy. Later in the conversation, he actually relaxes a little bit and allows himself to display emotion, and because he does that, he doesn't look so weird.
How you feel? You okay?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Okay.
I've been holding the stapler to the
Do you want to switch hands?
Oh no, I feel okay.
Talk about willpower.
If he just allowed himself to experience emotion in front of other people, a lot of this cringiness would go away. Outside of that, to fix the other weird stuff he does with his face, he can look into a topic called facial aesthetics. You can learn more about it by Googling that term or by watching people like this woman here. Basically, the idea is that you retrain the muscles in your face to act more attractively. The simplest example is the V-shaped smile versus a horizontal smile. Horizontal smiles look like crap. V-shaped smiles look attractive. You need to figure out how to activate the muscles in your face so they do what looks good. The next thing that is immediately noticeable is that Alex slurs his speech a lot, doesn't enunciate properly, and has a very soft, non-masculine voice.
Like, people ask me, like, hey, Alex, how are you doing? Like, and I'll, like, say stuff, and then, like, okay, they...
Alex probably would be better served if he hired a speech therapist instead of a dating coach so he can work on his slurred speech, enunciation, and vocal projection. Much like a psychologist, they also cost less money than a lot of these dating coaches do, and being easier to understand will instantly make more people like you. One of the problems with listening to this conversation with Dr. K is I had trouble speeding it up because Alex is too hard to understand. The last thing I noticed about Alex on what I would consider a postural front is described here on a top comment from a person who said he used to know him. It says, "Man, I went to high school with Alex. I never thought he was retarded. I just thought he had a bad speech impediment." Now, I will point out that I read this comment days after noticing Alex's speech problems, and both I and his former classmate are perceiving the same issue based on the names that Alex's bullies called him. So think about what people mean when they use words to describe you. The comment goes on to say, "He was a fearless running back, though. Terrible coordination, but one of the fastest kids in our school." Based on this comment about coordination and based on the fact that he looks like he's hunching forward, I'm guessing that he has bad posture and a weird walk or gait cycle. Here's what good posture looks like. If you're still really unsure about this, then you can speak to a physical therapist, which also, by the way, is cheaper than a dating coach. Having a trained professional tell you what specifically you are doing wrong and teach you how to fix your posture is like $100. But the way you learn how to do this is to stand up against a wall, create this shape in the picture, and memorize what the correct shape feels like. The more you practice the correct shape, the more bad posture will feel wrong. The problem with posture, or things that you have to do for a prolonged period of time, is that you will eventually sink back into the wrong position. If you know it feels wrong, then you can use that as a subconscious cue to put you back into proper form. This is the same for facial posture, and it's the same for learning how to walk attractively. Check out this video here on how to have an attractive walk, and probably look at a lot of other videos on how to walk attractively, because I've yet to see a single one that talks about everything. So that's all for the postural stuff. Now let's talk about the last topic in this 101 course, which is fashion and interior design. You want to make your environment welcoming to other people. In Alex's case, he should make it welcoming to women. We can't see his entire room, but as for what's in frame, I don't see any pictures on the wall. Undecorated walls give serial killer vibes, so fix that. I am glad, though, that I don't see anything like a collection of anime girl figurines or a waifu body pillow. That stuff generally works as woman repellent. Though he does have navy blue sheets, which are seen as so tacky to women that it's a meme on TikTok.
Someone cooked here.
Change the color of the sheets. But now you might ask, how do I know what color sheets to get? Well, that's why you need to know color theory. Color theory is useful for a lot of things. Since we're talking about fashion, you can use it to figure out what colors to use in your living space and what colors to put in your outfit. All colors you see are based off red, yellow, and blue. These are called the three primary colors. If you want to learn more about that, I recommend this video here. We use the primary colors to get the secondary colors to get the tertiary colors, and so on and so forth. Something you hear a lot in fashion are the terms warm and cool. It's hard to see warm and cool colors if you're a beginner and don't know how they work, but basically, a warm color is when you add more yellow to it. Going off the video that I just recommended, you can see she is adding yellow to the color and it's getting warmer. Cool means you're adding blue to the color. Here's the video creator adding blue. You also have muted or bright. These are pretty easy to see. Muted colors have low saturation, bright colors have high saturation. Now, in terms of how to combine colors, this is a more complicated subject that involves a lot of arguing between people who study it. This video here will give you the basics on what colors can be combined together, and if we're talking about outfit basics, generally you want to have no more than three colors in your outfit, though this can be played with as you grow in skill, especially if you're adding neutral colors to your outfit. To keep things simple, you probably want to memorize neutral colors first. Neutral colors are ones that generally go well with any other color. Which colors are neutral are debatable, but in my opinion, for clothes, neutral colors are black, white, brown, beige, gray, olive, and light blue jeans. As for the rest of color matching, you can figure out how that works in your own research. Next, how do you determine what colors you wear? Going back to Alex here, I will give him a compliment by saying that it looks like he's dressed in the correct colors. He doesn't look funky, and I don't immediately notice the outfit before I notice his face. Now, how you determine what colors to wear is based on the color seasons. You take your skin color, hair color, and eye color, match them to the seasons, and it will tell you what colors look better on you. Here's an article on it. All of this requires a trained eye, so it will take practice. Start out with cheap clothes and don't buy expensive stuff until you know what you're doing. Last on the clothes front is, what shapes do you wear? How do you know what types of jeans to get? There's like a million kinds. How do you know to wear a V-neck, a crew neck, or a Henley top? Just like with colors, it takes practice and a trained eye. You have to practice looking at people, and when you start to get good at this, you'll realize that most people have terrible fashion, which will probably make you feel better. Anyway, the shapes you wear are based on your body type. Figure out which one you are and memorize what clothes work with it. Also note that losing weight and gaining muscle will make clothes look better on you, so as always, go to the gym. After you learn what shapes to wear, you'll want to learn how to layer. Though his clothes look oversized, another thing that Alex gets right is that he has layered his upper body. Good. You can learn how to layer from this video here, and the last thing you'll want to search, which is kind of a lower priority for men, is how to wear accessories. Oh, and one more thing, here's a video on shoes. Next up is hair. It's very difficult to see Alex's hairline. However, I do have one shot here where you can get a decent look at it, and to me, based on his face shape, it looks like his hair is too short. There's a chart for hairstyles, just like body shape and the color seasons. Take a look at it and pick one out. Make sure that the hairstyle fits your personality, or it will look bad. This is the same with the type of clothes that you pick, too. Pick clothes that fit your personality. Now, I will say that if you're new to this and have some extra cash, it's probably a good idea for the first haircut to find someone expensive who knows what they're doing and just pay them to tell you what haircut to have. Then when you know it looks good on you, you can go to someplace cheaper. This stuff takes a while to learn, but it really makes a difference, and I think the best display of how important taking care of your appearance is in that old show, Beauty and the Geek. It's amazing how many attractive people there are that are hidden by horrendous self-care. I know it sounds like a lot, but you don't have to be an expert to start getting attention. Even some minor improvements will go a long way. Now, to wrap this up, I thought this take from Alex was really funny.
So what I learned from the 7 dating coaches is definitely be very careful for what you pay for.
I agree. I think dating coaches are largely toxic. And as Dr. K points out during the show, there are people who call love a disease.
Do you know what the suffix itis means?
Itis means inflammation.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? What some of society calls love, it sounds like the pickup artist community treats like a disease. So what itis sounds like a bad thing.
Now, obviously, we aren't talking about guys who obsess over a single girl, particularly if that girl has already shown that she's not interested. That's pathological. But notice the framing with words like one-itis versus abundance mindset, and notice how none of these PUA guys seem to be able to handle long-term relationships, and as far as I can research, virtually none of them are in stable marriages. I've seen maybe one. I also think that if you understand how attraction works, dating coaches and pickup artists charge way too much for things that can be learned for free on YouTube, or be much better handled by a specialist for cheaper. Some of these courses are thousands of dollars and provide you completely useless information, either because it's stuff that doesn't work or it's way above the skill level of the person watching it. When you're learning things that are new, you need to practice a technique called comprehensive input, which means you're in a zone where the information is not so basic that it's useless, yet it's not so difficult that you can't comprehend it. You also need to learn how to prioritize the skills that will provide the most value and practice those first, then practice the skills that provide less value afterward. Anyway, thanks for watching. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown in the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offering, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.